Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about pandemic politics and panic. Pandemic politics and panic. We've set the stage where we're wanting to go. We're interviewing today, ladies and gentlemen, Don Redmond. Don is running for the District 3 for the school board. And I believe we need to put in conservative Christians in every place that we can. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mind telling you. I believe that it's time as Christians we speak up, stand up, be heard, be seen. And Don, we're talking about just before the news break of the panic that's set in and what's happening in America with the different mayors and the governors and the ones with executive orders issuing a national emergency or a state emergency or a citywide emergency. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. That telephone number gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've got a question about the pandemic. Perhaps you've got a question or comment about the panic that's taking place. Perhaps you've got a question or comment that you would like to ask Don Redmond about his running for the school district 3 for the Duval County School Board. Don, one of the things that I see taking place is, you know, President Trump has been having rallies. His rallies having several thousands upon thousands, 25, 50, 100,000 people in a rally. And now with the diminishing of the value, as I would call it, or the interest in the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic candidates running for president, they always had 10 to 15 in their rallies anyway. And, and now they're demanding that President Trump cease and desist with his rallies. I think what we can see, ladies and gentlemen, and Brother Don, I think that you'd agree that what we're watching is a political element in this whole thing called the pandemic. What are your thoughts?
Politics is deeply involved in this pandemic. You know, the old saying, you know, never seen a disaster they couldn't use for the political arena. And, you know, the Democrats are bad about this or good at it. They'll you know, any disaster, any thing that they can come up with to use to blame Trump. I mean, you know, I've already heard people blaming Trump,
yes,
you know, for the
virus.
You know, he created it.
He created it and aerosoled it over America.
Oh, right, yeah. Now. So, you know, politics has jumped right in the middle of this, and which is sad. It's sad. And it's you know, but getting back to the school board, I'm running for school board District 3. Right now we have seven school board members. Of that seven, there's one on there right now that is a conservative Christian. We need conservative Christians overseeing our children and what they do, what they, you know, come in contact at school with, what they, you know, what they study, what's being pushed on them. And some of the issues that I see, I've been on the school advisory committee, chairman of the school advisory committee in Southside area for 25 years. And I talk to the principals, I talk to the teachers, I talk to the students, and I talk to the superintendent every month as I meet in the school board building. So I hear all the issues. I have seen people come into our schools and teach young kids, middle school and high school, the safe use of condoms in safe sex. You know, this is something that is destroying our schools, destroying our children. We don't need issues like that for our kids to be brought in touch with in a school scene. It's just outrageous, some of the things that goes on.
Don, you touched on that, and it triggers the question that begs to be asked and demands an answer for us. Our schools, the LGBTQ, and of course any of the other acronym that you'd want to, or letters you'd like to add to the acronym, the LGBTQ agenda are in pretty much total dominating control of the literature for our schools and for the textbooks that's used in our schools today. How could we expect, what do you think is the trickle down points that we need to do? How do we eliminate that from our schools in Duval County? What do we do to sequester our students from it and or to remove the literature? What are some of the things that you would like to attempt, whether you could get it through or not? How would you like to attack that problem and resolving that issue in our schools?
Well, the first thing, you got to get school board members that have enough backbone to stand up for what is right.
That's the key, yes.
And have a good, sound Christian background and are born-again Christians and conservative ideas. So, you know, if you get that, and it's no problem seeing what has been taught. I mean, when you teach the child that, you know, homosexuality is normal, you know, at an early age, they're starting at early ages to convince our generation of people coming up that that's normal. My Bible tells me that's not normal. I believe the Bible from beginning to the end. Yes. And
you're saying that, I tell people I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Yes. I even believe the front where it says genuine leather.
Yes, I served 8 years on the city council. I fought that battle there. When I was on the city council, we won the battle. I'd have reporters come to me and then ask, Don, have you changed your mind? I said, no, God's word hasn't changed. My Bible hasn't changed. I'm not changing.
Amen.
So, you know, until, you know, and God's word is not going to change. It is there today and will be there tomorrow. And we got to get back to the Bible.
Yeah,
that's just all it is.
And what we're finding with that LGBTQ agenda, Don, and for our listeners, they've now spread that not just in the sex education classes, but they're including it in every study, every academic study. They found a way to insert a study on that. For example, in history, part of the history text today across America in the history textbooks being used, fifth grade and up, in the United States of America, governmentally controlled schools, what they're doing, they're giving the historic background of all of those that are the, quote, originators and movers and shakers and pushers in the LGBTQ agenda.
Yes.
That's an amazing thing that they're finding a way to do that. And so that makes me think, Don, isn't it wonderful that we have considered what President Trump has asked the Secretary of Department of Education to do, and that is to inculcate in every public school the right for a student to pray in school on public school property. What do you think about that?
Well, thank God for President Trump. You know, we've been going the other direction for so many years with other presidents and other leaders. I think Trump is God's man of the hour. I don't think anybody else could do this. But, you know, it's important. I mean, until we, you know, allow a child. I mean, we have children in our school that don't have praying parents. They've never seen a Bible, you know, and unless they happen to see it, or unless they see other children praying, and they have no idea what it's all about. They don't understand God's word. They don't know what morals are. They wonder why kids go out and kill other kids. They know it's against the law, but there's a moral law that they are not being taught. There's a moral law that is not in their agenda at home.
They don't have that.
They
moral
don't go
compass
to church.
There.
They don't hear God's word.
That's right.
It's just another law, you know. And they see their parents break laws. They see people break laws on a regular basis. So
this is a good opportunity then for us to inculcate some modicum of how would you say, moral ethics and values in those students. Don, that brings me to a thought. When we look at what's happening on the national level and global level with the pandemic, which is bringing about sheer panic, stock markets already lost about $8 trillion. I can't even get my arms around that. I can't even count that high. Stock markets have lost about $8 trillion. And those dollars have been taken out of the pockets of those investors on a national level. But Don, with that being said, schools are being closed. We had the spring break last week in most of the schools across America. Where would you stand? Let's say that you're a school board member now. What ought we understand as citizens in Duval County? How should we view this? Should we immediately just by fiat close all the schools in Duval County? What should be the action of the school board now as we're speaking?
Well, I don't agree with the fact of keeping the kids out of school for an unlimited amount of time. This creates all kinds of other problems, not only educationally, but emotionally and safety reasons. I mean, these children out on the street, it's a known fact that when school is out in the summertime, there's more crime. When school is out for holidays, there's more crime. Mm-hmm. We have kids out, you know, but the gang situation that we have in Duval County now, we have gangs that are moving from all parts of town. And kids that have no leadership, have no structure on their daily basis, are going to find something to do. It's a whole different problem, I know.
Yes. One of the things that I see taking place, Don, and I've been examining this whole coronavirus pandemic panic, scrutinizing it pretty carefully. Across America, state by state, city by city, each of the school boards seem to be in the grip of the teachers' union. And it's the teachers' unions that's demanding the closure of the schools more than from the medical people that's making the decision.
Yes.
I know the teachers' union, in just about every case where the schools have closed citywide or statewide, been as a result of demand by the teachers' unions. So as a result of that, though, the teachers' unions, of course, being loose likes lost liberals in my book, number one, you might listen and disagree with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's all right. That's not going to change my position. But as a result of that, when these kids are all out on the streets, as you say, the harm and danger that's there, but it's triggering through the national emergency and then the statewide declared emergencies by governors and city councilmen and mayors, et cetera, you're finding it's releasing millions of dollars to go into the hands of those that are distributing it for whatever cause they would want it. And we're finding in New York City now, I've forgotten the number, but it's up into the thousands upon thousands of students that are illegal aliens in the school system, that now this gives the right for Nancy Pelosi and others to distribute all kinds of welfare funds, food funds, et cetera, et cetera. I find it a pandemic that's causing a panic, and the panic that's causing the political aspect of it to literally take roots and take hold in areas that we've never approved before. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. I mean, it's costing us money, and it gives them the ability to put money, right as you said. I mean, we have a lot of undocumented illegal students in Duval County. Mm-hmm. We can't question them. When they come into the schools, they are allowed in school. No questions asked. And a lot of them uneducated. They put them into a grade that they think that they should be in, and it creates a problem for the other kids. That's a whole different issue. But yes, they're even feeding the kids three meals a day now in our schools, whether they want it or not. Breakfast and lunch, whether they want it or not, and evening meal if they want it, at taxpayers' expense.
Mm-hmm. How do we control that now?
They're doing this, but since they're out of school, they don't tell them they can come to the schools and get their lunch.
Does the school board have a control over that at all?
Well, it's federal money. That's feeding them.
If it is federal money, for it to be utilized, the school board has to accept that federal money. When they accept the federal money, you accept the strings that's attached to that federal money. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. And, you know, this old saying that I heard it with the city government, I'm hearing it with the school board, well, if we don't accept this federal money, we may not get it next time. You know, it's one of those things, well, you got to spend it or we may not get it again.
It's the dollar greed.
It's the dollar thing. Mm-hmm. It's all about money. But, you know, teachers tell me that over 50% of the food that they give them for breakfast goes into the garbage. They don't eat it. I mean, and it's taking away the responsibility of parenting.
It's another socialist
idea.
That's right.
I mean,
taking mom and dad out of the picture.
Yeah, we're going to feed your kids. We're going to teach them what we want to teach them. And we're going to take care of them. We'll send them back home for, you know, to sleep at night. And what they've learned at school, I mean, you'll have to accept. And you know, until we get some governing over this, until we get people with enough backbone to take a stand on some of these issues, it's not going to change. It's going to get worse.
And there again, ladies and gentlemen, it's the reason that we're interviewing today Don Redmond. Don Redmond is running for school board district 3. And I urge you, encourage you, dial 831-0917. This is our telephone number, 831-0917. Ask whatever questions you'd like to ask. I realize that everybody's focused on the pandemic. Everybody's focused on being panicked. Everybody's focused on buying enough toilet tissue to last for the next year. I realize most listening today, you're panic-stricken, and you think you've got to fill a storm shelter so that you can last through the coronavirus. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians and as conservatives and conservative Christians, we ought not to be panicked. We ought to prepare, yes. We ought to be ready, yes. We ought to be vigilant, yes. We ought to understand that this is a dangerous virus, yes. But we ought not to panic, ladies and gentlemen, and crawl into the closet and simply say we're going to cease and desist all that we've been doing, and we're going to listen to the pundits out there that say that we need to reduce the size of the crowd. Now, listen, I understand if you go into a gigantic crowd, I'm not for that. I've never been for going into a massive crowd of people and just wandering and wading through. I believe that that opens the door for Pandora's box for any germ, any disease, any virus to be spread. So I can understand the safety precaution there with that. But what I do not understand, Don, is for the federal or the state government to control and to limit the movement of a citizen in the United States of America. And yet when there's a national emergency declared, it opens Pandora's box for the absolute control of what human beings in America can do. And I'm adamantly opposed to that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about that. And I'm, Don, if we find that, and all of the scientists have told us, that the coronavirus has not affected babies, infants, or children, why is it we're concerned about closing the schools if there's not been an outbreak of any of the virus in any school in America? Why do we close the schools?
That really doesn't make sense. Last I heard, I don't think anybody under the age of 30 or 35. It doesn't make sense because, child that is in a classroom is not going to be touching every child in that classroom to start with. He's more likely going to be touching more kids out on the street or in the playground or in the front yard or backyard playing with other kids. And they all get together and they're going to do the same, they're going to play like they normally do.
Right.
So in a classroom, you'd have a more structured situation where they wouldn't be on top of each
other. We're closing the schools nationally, and yet this virus is not affecting our school-age kids.
No, it's not.
And ladies and gentlemen, I just heard a whisper in my ear, the latest with Mayor Curry. Mayor Curry has just by fiat said that there'd be no public gatherings over 49. Well, we didn't have 49 in services Sunday, so I'm not worried about it. there is, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, and I'm not saying what you need to do, but I'm saying what I believe God would have us to do as Christians. I believe God will have us to continue to have church, continue to worship, continue to praise Him. After all, it's God that's on the throne. It's God that's in charge. It's God that rules over all. It's God that makes the determination on what is going to take place with this. And I don't believe in foolishness. I believe we need to wash our hands, Don. I believe we need to be safe with that washing of our hands. Medical science tells us that each human being will touch our face about 90 times a day. Our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, about 90 times a day. So there need to be clean hands, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe that if you want to do the what they're calling now the fist bump or the elbow bump, and I said recently you could do the hip bump if you want to do that and not literally grasp a hand and shake a hand, that's your prerogative, and that's what we ought to inculcate. We ought to, in fact, most are not aware of it. We need to be safe when we use the gasoline pump, putting on gloves and washing our hands after we use a gasoline pump for pumping gas. We need to be careful being out in the area where people be sneezing and spreading the virus. And those sneeze droplets, Don, I'm told that it will land on a surface and can remain live on the surface for up to 9 days. So, therefore, we need to use disinfectant.
We're not going to win that battle.
Not going to win that battle. Yeah. So we can close all the schools and all the business. It's devastated the cruise industry, the shipping industry. It's devastated the airplane industry. It's devastated now the hotel, motel, what's called the, industry that helps and takes care of that. I forgot the term that's used for that. hospitality industry. That's it. As a result of that, we're destroying it, and that's going to cost us billions of dollars to try to. And we're not wanting to use the term as conservative Republicans, not use the term bailout, but it's going to take a bailout for that, because we're going to watch bankruptcies as a result of it. Right. Don, share very briefly with our listeners. When elected, not if elected, ladies and gentlemen, we look at it from a positive standpoint that you, our listener, will vote for Don Redmond. And in doing so, that will assure him going into office. So, Don, when you're elected, what are some of the top priorities you want to institute in Duval County schools?
Well, discipline being one of the major issues that I want to tackle. As talking with our teachers and in schools all over the city, discipline is the main reason we can't retain teachers.
That's right.
I've talked to teachers that have left our classes or left our schools and gone to surrounding counties to teach. And, was it the money that ran you off? No, you couldn't pay me enough to come back to Duval County and teach until they get these children under control. The discipline is out of
control.
It's
like having the inmates in charge of the prison, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly right. I would want an audit want to know where all the money is going in our school system.
Good question.
I ask this question quite often. I don't know. I don't know how much that goes. I don't know where the money is going. Why don't we have enough money to take care of this? Well, I don't know. We don't have enough. I can't get answers for the questions that I ask. I know the city council had the same issue, and one of the reasons they turned down the request for the to put it on the ballot, early election. There are issues, and we need an audit of all the facilities. We need an audit. We have some facilities that we don't need. The busing is something that really we need to get straight.
Yes.
I mean, these contractors are making a bundle off of it. I've asked that question. How much are we paying? And,
all of the buses in Duval County are subcontract buses.
They're all subcontract buses. Somebody else owns the buses. We don't own. They bid on the contract, and we have several different companies throughout the city. We need an audit of that. We need to get our busing. One of the scariest places with our kids is on these school buses.
On the bus.
I hear that. I have parents say, well, I won't put my kid on a bus. My kid won't ride a bus again. He's been intimidated. He's been threatened. It's dangerous on the bus. We have to get that under control. Civics in our schools. I mean, we're basically teaching our children socialism.
Yes.
We need to teach them what real history was. We need to teach them civics, what our government is all about. The difference between socialism and capitalism and communism. Mm-hmm. I mean, socialism is just another word for communism.
Yes, socialism is communism-like.
I'd like to work with the military to build up our ROTC program, junior ROTC programs in all of our high schools. This is a group of people that are very well disciplined. They can work with other kids. I've seen it, the schools with the strong ROTC programs do not have a lot of the issues that other schools have, because these kids help out with the discipline.
That's right.
And our military, being a military-friendly city that we are, we have military people that love to help in the schools. We have retired military veterans that would love to be a part of our school system and help out. We're not utilizing them. Being a veteran myself, I don't know why we don't reach out and seek the help of our veterans. They're there.
Good resources. They
understand.
Don, let's make a transition. I've got an article in my hand that says, Florida set to adopt a massive expansion of school choice. Let me read a blurb from it. Let's talk about it. The Florida House of Representatives has passed a monumental school choice expansion program. Quote, we're expanding opportunities for parents who do not have the physical resources to choose a private school to choose to do that thing. This is the type of innovation that leads to better outcome for all of our children, no matter where they grew up and no matter how much money they have or do not have. The vote of the bill was 81-39 with all of the Florida Republican House members in support of, and 8 Democrats also supporting. The legislation now goes to the Florida Senate for a vote. Republican State Representative Jennifer Sullivan of Mount Dora said the expansion of school choice that bill funds is the right thing to do for all of the Florida families. And I won't go into the details, Don, time won't allow, of the skirmish between some of the Democrats and some of the Republicans about it. They're claiming that it is elitism to allow this to take place. They're claiming that if this takes place with the parental choice is what it is for where they send a child, that it will increase the discrimination against the LGBTQ. And that whole group was in there screaming and crying about it. And Kimberly Daniels, a Democrat, says elitism by trying to discriminate against faith-based private schools is what you're finding. And that's it, because with this bill, if it passes in the Senate, it will allow every parent to decide where they want their child, a public school, a private school, a charter school, etc. What are your thoughts on that, and what do you say, and what would your stand be?
Well, I'm a firm believer in school choice. I think the money should follow the child. Our president has stated that he feels that way.
Yes.
So this is a step forward. Yes. I'd like to see even go even farther, where every child would have, every parent would have the opportunity to send their child to whatever school they think is best for their child. I mean, that child should be the main concern. And if it's not getting the education and being taught things in the public school, that they don't want that child to be taught.
That their parent is against, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, Don, with this school choice, what I'd like to see them do, and I have pondered the possibility since this note came out, of getting in touch with the Senate, some of the senators, and getting them to mark it up on the basis that it will not only be school choice, but a voucher, a state set figure, a voucher, like a check. And that check given to each parent for each student, that check is spendable, that can be cashed at any school in the state of Florida.
There you go. Yeah. School choice. That's
school choice. That is the true school choice right there.
Yes.
Don, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Take this time, again, introducing yourself and your contact information, your telephone number, your email address, et cetera, et cetera. How can people reach you to help you get in the office of District 3?
Thank you, Brother Gene. Don Redmond, School Board District 3. Go to Don Redmond, voteforDonRedmond.com, and you can find out more about me. My phone number, 904-626-9307. I'm looking for help for people to come out and help get signatures on petitions at the precincts tomorrow. So if you're willing to do that, give me a call, 904-626-9307.
Amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues
of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.